Good evening, everybody. My name is Peter McPherson, the Senior Minister of St Alfred's. I'm delighted that you're here to share Christmas with us. There is no greater gift than life. I wrote that statement a week ago on the morning that the cafe siege in Sydney ended, when two innocent people and a gunman had lost their lives. And at the stage I wrote that statement, I didn't know that the next couple of days would tell me about children being killed in Cairns and also in Pakistan. There is no greater gift than life. And often it takes a tragedy to jolt us into recognising how fragile our lives are. A couple of weeks ago, I received an email from England, from a family we know. It was a short email. It simply said, "Our beloved dad died an hour ago." That's a brutally short email, and my immediate reaction was, oh no. Now, they are a strong Christian family, surrounded by the love of family and friends. They're members of a strong and caring church who've looked after them while the dad struggled with a debilitating condition for a number of years. And that church will go on caring for them. But the cruel reality, the harsh reality, is a woman has lost her husband and five children have lost their father. There is no greater gift than life. And the Christmas story, in fact, the story of the Bible, is that life, this gift, begins with God and ends with God. God gives us the gift of human life, a period of 70 or 80 years if we're doing well, not that long if we're not doing well. And it shows us that we can never take that gift for granted, can we? But there is also a greater gift than life that God gives us, and that's the gift of eternal life, a different experience of life beyond death, a gift that you may receive through faith in Christ Jesus. Most of us remember a month ago that the cricketer Philip Hughes tragically died just a few days short of his 26th birthday when he was struck on the head by a cricket ball. It was a terrible shock to his family, to the cricketing community all around the world, and in fact to ordinary people, because you don't expect young men who just go out to play cricket to lose their life. I watch cricket, and I was interested to watch the first test in Adelaide that occurred not long after Philip Hughes's funeral. I don't know if you noticed anything about that game. There are a number of century makers for Australia. Two of them, David Warner and the now captain Steve Smith, on passing their centuries, looked to the sky to acknowledge Philip Hughes. The bowlers touched the crest on their shirts and looked to the sky when they got their wickets. They acknowledged the number 63, if any of the players reached that score, which was the score that Philip Hughes was on when he died. And they had emblazoned on the grass on the Adelaide Oval the number 408, because Hughes was the 408th person to play cricket for Australia. Now, no doubt these were ways of them paying tribute to their fallen mate. But there was also a feeling there, perhaps a hope, that Hughes was up there watching, somehow directing the destiny of this game, looking down on them, and that he would be cheering them on. Somehow, in some ill-defined sense, there was a hope that his life continued on, although not physically. With those of you with longer memories and with an interest in another sport that I don't follow all that much, might remember that the jockey Damien Oliver did something similar when he won the Melbourne Cup in 2002 on Media Puzzle. As he passed the finishing line, he looked up to the sky to acknowledge his brother Jason, who tragically had died just the week before the Melbourne Cup in a horse accident at the young age of 33. And at the presentation ceremony after the race, Damien said about his brother Jason, "I know you're up there, buddy, and this one's for you." There is a deep-seated feeling, a deep-seated sense in human beings that there is more to life than just here and now. And this makes sense to me as a Christian, as a minister, because it says in the Bible that God has actually set eternity in our hearts. He's given us a sense as human beings of eternity, of a time beyond just these few years that we live. We have an inkling, a sense of that. And Christmas reminds us that this is true, that there is more to life than just the here and now. I said at the outset that it often takes a tragedy to remind us that life is a gift. But what would it take for God to remind us that eternal life is a gift, a greater gift? What would God have to do to jolt us out of our everyday lives and go, eternal life actually exists and it's a gift to you? What would he do? I mean, he could tell some prophets and ask the prophets to tell the rest of the people. He could get it written down in a big book and give us the book to read. He could send angels, perhaps, to let people hear direct from angelic beings. He could put signs in the stars and have these planets aligned so that we could read the sky at night and go, yes, there is a God. He could do all of that, and in fact, he has. But God knew that none of that would be enough. He knew that ultimately the only way to show human beings, to jolt us out of our ordinary lives, was for him to come to the earth himself, which is exactly what he does in this baby Jesus. The last reading we heard describes Jesus as full of life. He came full of life to bring life and light to us. He brings us this gift of eternal life. And there is no greater gift than this. That family I mentioned earlier on who've lost their father know that because Jesus was raised from the dead, death is not the end of the story for human beings. There is life beyond death, and they know they will see their father and their husband again, with a certainty that I think the Australian cricketers don't have about Philip Hughes. Jesus' life after death guarantees your life after death. It's a great gift, and I encourage you to receive it by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what would be the greatest gift you could receive this Christmas? Think about it. You don't have to tell me. What do you long for? An online newspaper that I subscribe to sent me an email recently, and it was headed, "Our Gift to You." And you know what it was? The offer of a 3-month subscription for just $2. And then a couple of days later, they sent me another email, and this one was headed, "The Perfect Christmas Gift." The perfect Christmas gifts. Now, what could be the perfect Christmas gift? World peace? An end to human suffering? I mean, they rank pretty highly on my list. You know what the perfect Christmas gift was? It was a boxed CD collection of Russian ballet. I didn't order it. I thought I can get through this Christmas without that. I was talking about my sermon about a week ago with my 15-year-old son and said, what would be a good gift, a great gift for me, do you think? And his suggestion was to get no cheek from my daughter for an entire week. That would be a great gift. They both said I could say that tonight. Now, the God we're celebrating here tonight, who came to earth as a baby, has given us the greatest gift possible. Not only the gift of life, but the gift of eternal life. I know there are many of you here tonight who have accepted this gift and it's changed your lives. Because of what God has done for you, you have a deep-seated sense of purpose in your life and you are delighted in serving God and serving others. You're here tonight to rejoice and lift your voice and praise God for the miracle of the birth of Jesus. You are also realistic enough to know that believing in Jesus doesn't guarantee that everything in your life will go right. And yet you are willing to trust God until the day you die. But I also know there are others here tonight who are too busy perhaps, too travel weary, maybe too cynical, or perhaps too hurt to believe. And you're not ready for some big commitment of faith tonight. But perhaps all that God is looking for tonight, before the rest of Christmas takes over, perhaps all that God needs from you is just the smallest opening in your mind, just a chink in your heart, just enough space in your busyness or your cynicism or your weariness or your hurt, just enough space for God to show you that he loves you passionately. It might not require anything more than you saying to God, if you're there, please show me. The song we just heard and was beautifully danced to said, this is love, this is love. You chose to make your home in us. And that is true. God is real. He did come to make his home in our world and in us by his Spirit. And when he makes his home in us, life, that great gift, is never the same. Life is such a gift, but eternal life is a greater gift. So I encourage you to receive this gift by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. If I've confused you tonight and you'd like to read something, I've put a few little booklets out in the foyer called Why Christmas, which in a few pages will just explain a little bit more about Jesus and about Christmas. And there are a few other booklets there. My gift to you, please do take one. May God bless you this Christmas. May God show you that he loves you. May you receive this great gift of eternal life through faith in Christ. God bless you. Amen.